The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
Very pleasant. Good afternoon here on a Wednesday. We have made it to the middle of the week, and we thank you so much for being a part of the program. A lot to do today. We have some really interesting guests, but we want to start with where we have been all week, and that is on old Rocky Top. And the headlines continue to, well, stupefy pretty much everyone. By focusing on Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee playing dangerous game with the NCAA. That is the headline from the Knoxville News Sentinel, and it is something that really emanates from the chancellor's comments the other day. We will dig deeper into that a little bit later on with one of our guests. Meanwhile, a little bit farther north, Mark Stoops is not surprised, not one bit, about what happened with Tennessee. Now, that's an interesting story. I could be a fly in the wall in Lexington, wouldn't you? Mark Stoops on KSR earlier. Vanderbilt's Sarah Fuller invited to the inauguration today, in case you didn't realize it. There is a new president, and Sarah was there as a guest of the 46th president, Joe Biden. Sarah has definitely been making the rounds since she became the first woman in the SEC to to play in a game as a place kicker a few weeks ago. Meanwhile, Nick Saban, the coaching searches continue. There's speculation that Bill O'Brien will be on the staff. Now there's speculation that another recent NFL head coach, Doug Marrone, will also be joining as a linebacker coach. Has any staff ever had, any college staff ever had two NFL coaches, head coaches that literally just coached in the NFL as a head coach? We'll get to the book of records on that. Meanwhile, Georgia's new $80 million facility beginning to take shape. Everything's looking better at Georgia. A lot of optimism about next year. Mike Griffith just declared Georgia the favorite to win the Super Bowl. So we have a lot to do on the program. We'll start in Knoxville. Not about football, though. It's Week Back Pat Week, and we will talk to one of the most famous players ever at the University of Tennessee, Candace Parker. What an amazing athlete Candace was on Rocky Top. Gentry Estes covers the Vols, so we will pivot to football. Have you heard the story about Chris Kirk? We've talked to Chris before. He's had quite an up-and-down career, and he just barely, and I mean barely, won his card the other day, and we'll tell you how. And Mike Morgan. Your phone calls at he'll be doing the Kentucky game tonight. Maybe he'll tell us if the Cats are ever going to turn this losing streak around. Big night of basketball last night. Tennessee went down to Gainesville and got whacked. Meanwhile, Alabama may be playing better than any basketball team in the country. Went down to LSU and destroyed the Tigers. We'll talk about all that today. Your phone calls at 855-242-7285. I had an Alabama friend text me a couple of minutes ago saying, "You think the world's ready for Alabama to win the national championship in both football and basketball?" We'll get to the calls right now, and let's check in with Sylvia up first. Hey, Sylvia.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you guys because I know that, you know, my brother's Lance from Jasper, and he hasn't called in lately. I just want everybody that knows Lance and that's on his Twitter page and all that just to kind of keep him in their thoughts and prayers because, you know, our mama passed last month. and he's having a really hard time, and he's been struggling. She's really sick for, you know, a long time. And so I just want everybody to just kind of keep her in her thoughts and
Sylvia,
and
where
prayers and just kind of.
So what is going on with him right now?
Well, he's just really mourning and grieving, and he's just, you know, she was sick for a long time before she passed, and he's just really, really struggling. So he just said, because of everything with Mama, he just hasn't felt like he needed to be on his YouTube channel or, you know, call in or anything, because he needs to focus on her and just not, you know.
Well, listen, you tell him, tell him we miss him, and he's welcome here anytime, and give us a ring someday. Maybe he can cheer us up.
I will. And, you know, with even though we're Gator fans, because I'm a Gator fan, but with Alabama winning, because Mama was an Alabama fan.
Right.
So with Alabama winning everything, we just feel like that was Alabama honoring Mama. So we're happy about that. And I just want to call everybody and update them if they could just send some prayers out to Lance and stuff. It probably cheer them up, you know.
Well, Sylvia, thank you. We miss Lance. Lance, a couple of years ago, was one of the most active callers on this program. He left us for YouTube, where he made a big name for himself, and we hope he'll come back. Let's go to Paul in Tennessee. You are next up. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
What's up?
How you doing?
We're doing well.
I got a question for you. So UT has a whistleblower go into the chancellor's office, and they tell him they've got some problems in the program. And UT hires an outside attorney group to investigate. They investigate. They find that that there's a problem in the program. And so what does UT do? They come back and immediately they fire the coach and fire everybody that's involved with it. And so I don't know how they could have taken a higher road on what they could have done as administration. Now, oppose that with, say, LSU of last year or whenever it was with their basketball coach.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
He was called by the FBI, and there were several other schools that were called by the FBI on tape, admittedly cheating, not admittedly, but obviously cheating. And what does the school do there? That school circles the wagons and protects the coach, and the coach is still coaching there. And it's gone on with other schools, too. So I'm not condoning what UT has done, although I think it goes on everywhere. But I think UT has done the right thing by distancing themselves from the people that have had the problem. And in these other schools, we're years down the road here, and nothing has been done by the NCAA or the school. They continue to support.
Paul, in the Will Wade case, let me make it clear, he was suspended. He did not coach in the SEC tournament or, I believe, the NCAA tournament. He did come back. He had his contract redone, and the case is still pending. You're right. I mean, the allegations hover over that program. I haven't talked to Will Wade in a while. I don't know whether he addresses it. I don't know whether he's been asked about it. I have no earthly idea. But and there are other programs under the NCAA gun too, where the coach is still there. So you are correct about that. Tennessee did it a different way.
And don't you think they took the high road as opposed to maybe some of these other schools that have basically just let things go on business as usual?
I would agree. Now, whether it's the right road remains to be seen. And I don't mean that in a way that they should tolerate irregularities. Nobody should. But, you know, there's some more answers. I would like to have some more answers from Tennessee other than what we heard the other day. But right now they did the only thing they could do is, you know, I don't mind them firing Jeremy Pruitt. I'm not sure the public the public disclosure of what the chancellor said is in the best interest of the university. Getting rid of him was in the best interest. I agree.
Well, what about these other coaches?
Well, do you have which other coaches are we talking about?
Will Wade for one.
Well, I made my feelings known about Will Wade 2 years ago, and I decided that nobody really cares what I think about that, so I'll leave that to LSU. That's LSU's problem.
Well, it should be the NCAA's problem, too, though.
Well, but the NCAA continues to investigate. That case is not over. Don't think for a second that you know, he has skated scot-free. That's pending at the moment.
Yeah, but, you know, there's 2 years of salary in there, too, $6 million later.
I agree.
There's a big difference.
Well, I mean, Paul, I know, you and I would handle it differently. LSU played the legal game, and they're still playing it.
I think the NCAA ought to be involved more. And
Let me say it again. The NCAA is investigating LSU. That case is reaching a conclusion. I don't know where it's going, and I don't know how they'll get there. But it's not as if the NCAA just said forget about it. The NCAA is investigating that program. Auburn a couple of weeks ago, remember, came out and said we are going to self-impose tournament sanctions. Florida, nobody even knew Florida was under the gun, and they went ahead and acknowledged everything and mentioned that their own coach is under a show cause. Tennessee did it differently. There's no question about that. We're up against a break. We must go. We will come back with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Joe is up next in Kentucky. And Joe, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Hey,
good to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
I'm a UT graduate, and I love UT football. I'm sure there's somebody who's a greater fan than I am, but not many. I graduated from there before you were there.
It's a long time ago.
For a long time in Neyland Stadium watching Jay Julian work the band harder than I ever worked as an athlete.
Oh, yeah.
My graduate degrees are both from UT, and I'm a retired university professor and administrator, and so that's my way of transparency. I love the various calls and interviews you've had for the last few days, but I'm disappointed in some of the things I've heard.
Okay.
I heard people say things that I don't really think they believe. I heard people say that we should let the NCAA find their own evidence and that the university should hide evidence and even lie if they have to. Do we really believe and advocate that cheating and lying are okay as long as we don't get caught? Think of what we're saying to the students at universities everywhere, that as long as they want to get along in the world, all they have to do is whatever they need to do, just don't get caught. And I just want to say a couple things about a university. The only currency a university has is its integrity. Its only credentials are its graduates, and its only credibility is in its leadership. And I just want all of us to try to remember that the University of Tennessee that we love is greater than the games it plays. And I'm ready for anybody who wants to push back at me. I just had listened, and I know people know better than some of the things they say, especially the Sports Illustrated guy yesterday from Kentucky. he actually embarrassed me as a college administrator.
Well, Joe, thank you for saying that, and I think most reasonable people would agree with you. You be well. Call again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's check out Kelly in Long Island, or on Long Island. Hey, Kelly.
Hi, Paul. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just wanted to say happy Inauguration Day.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I have a question about what you think of these possible hires at Alabama of two coaches who had issues with their records and also with the players, and the dearth of African-American coaches, which are only 14 now in all of the NCAA. There's no other place to look than people who have losing records who don't get along with their players. I'm very curious about what you think about Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien.
Well, again, I think, you know, the issue of African-American head coaches is completely different than assistant coaches. And we had a guest on Monday.
Right.
Who addressed that. As far as Nick Saban hiring former head coaches who have losing records, I don't think it's germane to what they will be doing in the future. I mean, he's basically bringing in in some ways successful people to teach a position. And Bill O'Brien is an accomplished coach, even as a head coach at Penn State. Marrone has a specialty, the offensive line, and I think it is attractive if you are a college, aspiring college student, to be taught by someone who has done it at the highest level.
I understand that, but I still think that there are other choices that can be made, because it seems like these guys drop into these other positions.
Kelly, I don't know how you could, from an offensive standpoint or from a specific offensive line standpoint, I don't know if you can do much better. And I'm not blind enough to say, well, whatever Nick Saban.
Well, the offensive line of the Jaguars was pretty terrible, so I'm not really sure how that is germane either.
Well, I don't mean to, I'm not going to defend Marrone. I thought he was a terrible head coach, but he is the head coach, and he had an offensive line coach.
Okay, I do see your point there. Okay, he just couldn't manage the whole thing.
And by the way, sometimes there are reasons, sometimes why particular groups don't work. And I will defer to Nick Saban. He probably knows more about hiring an offensive line coach than I would. But that's not the answer I really wanted to give you, but it is the answer I did give you, though. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. You thought this would be a quiet week, huh?
I did. It has not been.
Hey, I have to admit I was quite impressed with both Paul's and more particularly Joe's calls. I thought they hit on some good points. And it's possible with Tennessee that they received irrefutable evidence and jumped on it and mitigated the issues quite quickly, although I thought the chancellor was a little too candid. But I think we'll find out what's really going on. My question to you is, and you already addressed the basketball coach issues down at LSU, and I think they can now fire him for cause whenever the evidence truly comes out, although the phone calls or the FBI tapes pretty much speak for themselves. My more interesting issue with LSU is the sexual violence and assault issues that were outlined in the USA Today article. It seems pretty systemic down there, their culture, kind of like what you saw at Baylor, maybe Urban Meyer down at Florida years ago. But what's your thoughts on that? It looks pretty serious.
John, I think it is serious, and it's a story that I would recommend people watching very closely. And I don't know any more than you do, but if it's anywhere near as bad as the allegations, they've got issues. They have serious issues, and there will be considerable collateral damage when this case reaches its conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, just to tangent for a second back to basketball, I think they handled as well as they could given the contract and rewriting the contract. But if he indeed is held guilty of what he did with as many as 11 players.
John, I would say this. I mean, they were playing legal gymnastics. They could have fired him very easily and paid him and be done with it. But, you know, they made the choice to stay with a coach who publicly is badly damaged. You know, they've had some success, but that was their choice to make. And, you know, what's remarkable is that he has been able to recruit very well. It hasn't seemingly affected him one bit.
Well, we will see, but it could be some really serious penalties both there and on the LSU football and athletic department staff.
Yeah, I think the football issue is will haunt them long term. Whether you land that at Ogeron or someone else. There was some serious malfeasance and mismanagement and malpractice that went on that campus. No getting around it.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Let us check in next with Bill, who is in Texas. Hey, Bill, you are on the air.
Yeah, I'm Paul, thanks for letting me in.
Thank you.
I'm an Aggie daddy, so I'm coming from an Aggie standpoint, but how long will they continue to put Notre Dame with its lack of really being able to even contend when they get to the Final Four and their lack of who they play in their schedule? The political bias there, it seems overwhelming that if Notre Dame has any kind of schedule, any kind of, you know, maybe a 9-1 or a 10-0 or something like that, they're going to be put in ahead of other teams that have played much more significant schedules.
Well, Bill, I appreciate your call. I do respectfully disagree. And you can't come back after the fact and say, well, because Notre Dame didn't compete against Alabama this time or Clemson last time, they shouldn't have gotten in. You have to base your determination on what you see in the regular season. And I thought they played a very good schedule in the ACC this year. And, you know, you have to measure it against Texas A&M, which I'm sure you did, and decide where you want to land. Would A&M have played Alabama closer than 17 points? That's my question back to you. We'll take a break. More to come. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. Candace Parker, top of the next hour. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and Barney is up next. Good afternoon, Barney.
How you doing, Paul?
Barney, we are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I got a question for you. We all know that Tennessee went 3-7. Say they went 10-1 and went to a big-time bowl. You think the University of Tennessee would have spilled their guts like they did?
No, I do not.
Exactly. But don't get me wrong. I'm glad that they're using this to get Pruitt out of there. But like I say, if they'd have had a good year, they wouldn't have spilled their guts. I think they ran their mouth too much.
Well,
and when it does come out, they're going to have her. NCAA is going to really go after Tennessee.
Well, why wouldn't they? The school's already pled guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Right on national TV. But, hey, I'm happy he's gone. They should have fired him last year when they lost to Georgia State. So, and I'll let you go. I have to make one more comment. You know, Tennessee has not been part of college football for 12 years. So they've got me prepared to, if Tennessee goes on probation, not going to any bowls, so I'm ready for it. I'm used to it. You have a great day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Mike is up next in Houston. Hey, Mike.
Paul, I have to agree with your previous caller who very succinctly described the attributes required for a university. As much as I hate Tennessee and hate to agree with a Tennessee fan, it's a fact. And last week you had described the new SEC contract with ESPN. And one of the comments you made was that it will yield substantially more revenue for the conference and the individual universities themselves. Do you believe that that additional revenue will have a positive impact on the price of an education? Or is that money going to be squandered for other pet projects and the usual nonsense?
Mike, I don't know how the money gets earmarked. When you do a contract like that, ultimately all the money goes to the SEC, and then they dole out X number of dollars every single year to the universities. And really, I don't think there are earmarks or stipulations on how the university uses that money. Most of the time, television money is used to support the other non-revenue sports at individual schools. And for the most part, almost all the sports are non-revenue, with the exception of basketball, maybe a few places, baseball, but most sports lose money.
Right, and I understand that that's a big part of a total athletic department budget. But when you go back to what your previous caller described and what's necessary for the overall credibility of a university, there's a lot of different things that people look at and say, you know, is a student getting their money's worth? And if there's a lot of revenue, for example, in the state of Texas, the state lottery helps to fund public education. You know, so there's a lot of different funding sources aside from just tuition. And tuition has done nothing but go up over the last 20 to 25 years. And I think at some point, people are going to start asking themselves, you know, with an athletic department and the budgets that they have, and the cost of an education, where is there going to be some sort of return to the university that positively impacts the customer of the university, i.e. the student?
Well, I think it is a fact, Mike, that successful athletics directly correlate to fundraising. And I'm not answering your question by saying that is where the money is going. I think the money is going to the athletic department. But you also have to remember that these athletic departments are, for the most part, self-sufficient. And, you know, money that goes into the university does not, I mean, I'm getting into an area I'm not that familiar with, but I'm giving you broad brush opinions here. And, you know, Nick Saban, if he makes $10 million a year, that money's not coming from the University of Alabama. That money is coming from outside sources that support that department. And he is paid from a television standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, et cetera. But it's an interesting question, and I will see if I can get a better answer on exactly how that money ends up getting around. Don is up next in Birmingham. Don, you are on the air.
Good talking to you, Paul. Always enjoy your show. I did want to mention one thing that back at the end of the year, I really appreciated the time you spent with Coach Stallings.
Thank you.
I always thought a lot of him. I have in my friendship a few people who knew him quite well. One is deceased now, but they always spoke highly of him. I've never been able to have a one-on-one audience with him in a, you know, personal setting, but I have met him and would enjoy doing that sometime, but hope that would happen. Let me ask you a couple of things here. I have spoken to you about going to these away I think, in the past.
Right.
That's been one of our family adventures. Have a grandson coming up that I hope will be a fan and will go with us. Do you think that the situation for away games this fall will be such that visitors will be allowed away tickets, I guess is what I'm meaning.
Yeah, I mean, Don, I'm making a wild guess here, but I think by September, I hope I'm right, we are going to return to a normal lifestyle in relation to college football.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing I'm looking for is I'm about to be 67, and with the current situation, one of the things we're trying to do is visit all of the different stadiums over the years. And one of the ones I have not visited yet is Florida, and that was one of the things I was glad about this last fall is that they didn't play that game and displace the one for next year in Gainesville. And as you know, the way it's working now, I'll be in my 80s before they would play down there again. And it's, this is like the one shot at going to that. And also at home games, that was totally different this year. And in my case of being an Alabama fan, Alabama, as you're well aware, Mr. Byrne is, and the boosters have invested many millions of dollars in new space that has not been able to be used yet, and as have a lot of the different, especially the newer members of the conference that are upgrading their facilities and so forth. So that's going to be a really big thing. I mean, this ESPN contract, that's going to bring in a lot of money, but they make a pretty good bit of money from, a full house at, X number
of homes. Yeah, they do. You're right. And Don, I have to go to a break. But this contract that is just consummated is going to quadruple, maybe more, the amount of money that that the league and its member institutions get. We're up against a break. We'll talk to a number of people in hour number two, Candace Parker. We'll also talk to Gentry Estes from the Tennessean about what is going on currently in Knoxville. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we welcome you back, and James is up next in Dallas. Hello, James.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
We are doing well, thank you.
Good. Hey, Tennessee, South Carolina, Vandy, Auburn, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Missouri have all changed coaches in 2019 or 2020, 8 out of 14 teams. And I'm not trying to ask you a loaded question, but what does that mean to you? What's that saying?
Well, I think it says that a lot of the choices made were bad, and that is a difficult thing to do. And for all of the people that argue for patience, there's not going to be any patience any longer when coaching salaries are between $5 and $10 million and people offer their opinions on social media in real time and in other places. So, everyone wants to blame one person for this. I disagree strongly and vehemently. This is not Nick Saban's fault. Nick Saban did not get Jeremy Pruitt fired. Losing to Kentucky got Jeremy Pruitt fired, in addition to the NCAA issues, losing to Georgia State.
Right.
And ultimately, Saban's only one game a year for most of these schools. Will Muschamp, why did he get fired? Because he wasn't a very good coach. That's been proven now at two different places in the SEC. He's an excellent coordinator. He's a mediocre head coach. Jeremy Pruitt was clueless. He got fired. Derek Mason had 7 or 8 years to prove what most people could figure out pretty quickly.
I guess it's just the nature of the beast, the salaries and competition.
James, I think it's that simple, and I know that doesn't sound simple. And this is, you know, back before the media explosion and the money was where it is today, most coaches got 4 years. It really didn't matter what you did that first year or two. It was a standard. You need to be able to get your own players in. But that has changed. And, you know, the one thing we all got wrong was that there would be coaching changes in the pandemic. And it didn't faze anyone. Didn't faze Vanderbilt. Didn't faze South Carolina. Tennessee was on the bubble of firing Jeremy Pruitt. Auburn fired Gus Malzahn, even though his record puts the rest of these records to shame. The guy was successful, but you know, you had a group of Bubbas down there who wanted him out. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Mark is in Pennsylvania. Mark, thank you, and good afternoon.
Yeah, Paul, this is Mark. I really enjoy your show. My question to you is, we have all these allegations against Tennessee. Anybody really came out to say what these allegations are?
Nobody has specifically revealed the allegations, although the university clearly knows what the allegations are since they hired the firm to do the investigation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's not unusual. Now, usually a school will not reveal that. The only time you'll find out about specific allegations are if a media outlet reports. And I think it's not going to be long before someone shares that information. Most people believe they have a pretty good idea how this got started. Let's get back to the calls. And Donald is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Donald.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
I'm a first-time caller, Paul. What I was wanting to talk to you about, Paul, Tennessee has hired this young coaches for the last five or six coaches they had. And to me, what gets me so bad, it seems to me like that when you've got freshmen and sophomores and junior players at a place, And if you get a coach in that ain't never, and if you ain't never had a coach in that coached down there, then it's hard to have to win any games. And I just don't understand. And it ain't like Tennessee didn't have a chance to get some good season coaches, because they have over the time.
But Donald,
they had a lot of time.
Butch Jones was, hold on a second. Butch Jones was probably mid-40s when he got the job. He'd been a head coach at least two places, so I would disagree with you that they hired a young coach who did not have any experience with Butch. Now, Derek Dooley he got the job because of his father. That's pretty obvious, and he worked for Saban. He had been a head coach, and Jeremy would not have gotten the job had he not worked for Saban, although he had a record and a resume as an assistant coach. So you're partly right, but what are you supposed to do? Go out and hire? I think they'll hire someone now with a little bit of experience. I hope they do. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Moses is up now. I always feel smarter talking to somebody named Moses. Hey, Moses.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing great.
I guess I want to hear your personal opinion on. Like Mac McClung, he's one of my favorite players to watch. Like, what do you think about him, and what's your favorite player to watch? My first time calling, so.
So tell me more about your fandom here. You're in Colorado, right?
I'm in Colorado, and I really like the NBA basketball, but recently I've been watching college, and I like Mac McClung. I think he's, you know, exciting player to watch.
Okay, I tell you what we're going to do. Later in the week, we are going to talk to Bill Walton about the college basketball season and his career, and we'll put that question to him. He's far more knowledgeable than I am, and the next guest could probably answer it as well. Candace Parker is right around the corner.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.